Hello there, and welcome to this week's edition of Free Press Radio Show. My name is Brian Hanks. I am your co-host for this little joyride we do every week here from the dank studios of the Kansas Daily Free Press. His name is Dank Dawson. I'm sorry, it's John Dawson. How are you doing, dude?
You know, if Nick seriously happens to listen back to this, you know, he's shaking his head right now saying, why did I allow myself to go on this dumb show? That's what he's going
to
be saying.
Okay, was that you trying to do his voice?
I was trying to do art. I got the first word and then it kind of
I noticed it. It's like you gave up. You're three words into it and you're like, ah, screw it. I'm not going to finish this.
Yeah, I'm not as cool as art.
Oh, there you go. That's John Dawson, the voice you just heard right there, as he just alluded to. And hell, you know it anyway because you saw it on the little preview thing when you clicked it here. Very honored to have Nick Searcy from Justified. He's going to be joining us here very shortly. A great TV series over on FX that I know a lot of you folks listen to. A lot of you folks watch.
Well, they look at it and listen to it.
Well, there you go. It's the Free Press
Radio
Show.
It's an audio-visual kind of the experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is. So very excited to have him coming up here in a few minutes. Before we do that, though, just going to touch base on a couple of things. Before we bring him up here, first off, how you doing, big boy?
Well, I had to replace the motor in my 2006 Chevy Impala this week, and I'm a big fan of that. There's an Australian band called Tame Impala, and my bandmate CJ Grogan told me I had a lame Impala.
Well played, there, dude. Well played. I know.
So $2,400 later, here we are.
Well, I know I got to help you go pick up your beloved vehicle this morning, and I got to drive a nice artifact of its own. You want to tell everybody about that beautiful vehicle?
Yeah, my mom, she got a new vehicle a few years ago, but she kept her, I believe it's a 1989 Astro EXT van, and it looked... I never saw Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, but I'm assuming this is the kind of van he drove in that first movie.
You've got to, you know, if you're friends with me or Dawson on Facebook, and I know there are literally thousands of you that are, get on there and check out that picture I took of Dawson behind the wheel of his mother-in-law's van.
It's
awesome. Oh, your mom's van. Mom's van. It's pretty awesome.
It's kind of awesome. Like the A-Team van.
That's a very good way to put it. And then I got a chance to drive it because when you picked up your car, I followed you over to your house. And I have driven there. Dude, I've driven a tank. I've driven a tractor trailer before. I've driven, you name it, I've driven it. That is a unique experience in and of itself.
It's kind
of
like driving a toaster.
We're very thankful to have Nick Searcy, who's going to be joining us here in a couple minutes. Just a little bit of background on him if you're not familiar. In the summer of 1996, Searcy produced, directed, and acted in his first independent feature, Paradise Falls. That was in 1997 that it came out. Searcy's other film credits include the blockbusters Nail, which came out in 1994, The Fugitive, 1993, Cast Away in 2000, and we need to ask him about Tom Hanks, you know, my long-lost relative who won't he won't return my calls. You know, I don't know what the deal is with that, but wonder how cool he was in Cast Away. Head of State. See, I'd like to talk to him about that because, you know, how much I love Chris Rock, you know. So maybe we'll ask him a question or two about that. Runaway Jury in 2003 and The Ugly Truth in 2009. He broke into the scene as a villain Frank Bennett in Universal's Fried Green Tomatoes in 1991. He's a veteran of several television series. He had a recurring role in ABC's Thunder Alley, which was in 1994. He was a series regular on CBS's American Gothic, which I know was...
That is a fantastic show.
I know you love that one. That was in 95, UPN 7 Days from 98 to 2001, and ABC's Rodney, 2004 to 2006. He's also guest starred on Boston Legal, CSI, and The West Wing, among others. He's also starred in several movies of the week, including In the Best of Families, Marriage, Pride, and Madness, Stolen Innocence, and that was all for ABC. He's a series regular on HBO's From the Earth to the Moon. His theater credits include several off-Broadway plays and regional stock productions of Guys and Dolls, Cabaret, and Jesus Christ Superstar. He's married to the actress Leslie Riley and has two lovely children, one who is in college and the other in the third grade. And by God, let's get him up here.
Now we're out of time.
And as promised, now joining us here on the Free Press Radio Show is Nick Searcy. And again, we told you right before we brought you up, an honor to have you again here on the Free Press Radio Show, sir.
Well, thank you. And I can't imagine how honored you must feel.
Well, we are. And, you know, one of the things we hope you listen to this at one point or another, but the way we were describing you and the way we were describing Justified in general is, it is so refreshing, especially being here in Kinston, North Carolina. And I've lived all over the state of North Carolina. I lived up in Wilkes County is where I grew up. Went to school in Charlotte. Now I live in Eastern North Carolina. But what I like about you, sir, what I like about your program is that you guys really, you shine the South in a positive light. You know, most TV shows, they want to make fun of the South. They want to make Southerners like us that have the kind of accents that myself and John Dawson have. You know, they're always the idiots on TV shows and movies and all that. And what I love about Justified and about your character and about everything that you do on that program is that you show us as, hey, we're normal human beings like everybody else, sir.
Yeah, I like that about it, too. It doesn't dumb anybody down. And, you know, even the bad guys are smart. You know, it's just sort of, it puts the lie to all that, a lot of the stereotypes that Hollywood's been putting out about the South for years.
I don't remember the source of this, but I remember reading an interview with Walton Goggins, who plays Boyd, that if I'm remembering this correctly, he told the producers he wouldn't do the character unless they allowed him to play him as smart. Does that sound right?
I don't know. I think Walton was trying to create a stretch for himself.
We're going to have tons of Justified questions for you, but I wanted to ask you, did you have any opinion? Were you shocked by any of the emails that were put out from that Sony hack, or does everybody out there pretty much know that's the way it is and just doesn't really talk about it?
You know, I wasn't shocked by it. I mean, I was kind of taken by how juvenile it all seemed to be. I mean, you don't expect that people in positions of authority and power like that could behave like such children. But, you know, I guess it's that was the only thing that was shocking about it to me. I mean, I didn't find it particularly offensive. I just thought it was like, really? This is how these people talk to each other? This is like juniors in high school passing notes in class, you know?
It looked like a Facebook conversation.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, I don't know. I was sort of, in all honesty, it didn't really surprise me.
Well, was it all nerve-wracking for people that you work with? I mean, were people kind of nervous and looking over their shoulders and when the whole thing broke?
Well, not the people that I work with. I mean, you know, the cast and crew, we're not executives that, you know, the people that they were targeting. I mean, you know, I mean, it's sort of unnerving when, you know, you read about somebody being able to access somebody's private email conversations, you know, and you start thinking, have I ever said anything in a conversation that I'd be ashamed of? And then I just think about my Twitter feed and I go, well, it can't be any worse than that.
That is true.
You've got to be bulletproof at this point to say pretty much whatever you want, I would think, after that Twitter account.
Well, you know, I work enough as it is. I'm trying to cut down on the amount of work I have to do Twitter feed just to weed out a few people.
Well, how do you feel about the way the whole thing was handled, Nick? I mean, from the beginning of, you know, this movie was getting all this acclaim and you couldn't watch TV for 3 minutes without seeing a commercial for the interview. And then the way it was just shut down immediately. And then, you know, even the president coming out and saying something about it. And then you could watch it on pay-per-view. How did you feel about that whole process?
It was just shocking to me. I mean, it really, you know, the thing that was shocking about it was just, seemed like cowardice. The way they reacted to it was just like, it was so strange to me. It's like, what happened to that old idea that was I grew up with in the 70s, and which is like, you know, free speech is all important and we're going to speak truth to power and we're going to, you know, say our piece because art is the way that we address problems in the universe. And then this comes up and they go, well, we better not show that. Okay, we'll take it off. We won't put it on, you know. It's just like, I just found it really fascinating. I don't think that would have happened in, like, 1976.
Yeah.
You know? We It's a movie. Get over it, you know?
What do you think about the theories? And I'm a big conspiracy theorist myself anyway, but what do you think about the conspiracy theories out there that maybe the North Koreans weren't behind this at all, and maybe the whole thing was just a, you know, an attempt to get more talk up about the movie and, you know, to get people to buy it on pay-per-view? Is there any validity to that, or am I just too far into conspiracy theories?
Well, you know, that occurred to me at one point. I mean, the whole North Korea thing seemed implausible to me from the beginning, and then it's sort of come out that they kind of have traced it to, like, a hacker who was a guy who used to work at Sony, and it probably wasn't North Korea, but I'm not so sure it was a conspiracy that the studios were in on it to create publicity for the movie. But, you know, I think that there's a lot of covering up after the fact. I mean, you know, the administration is still kind of insisting that it was North Korea, even though the evidence doesn't support that anymore. So
basically, let me ask you, is it worth going to war with North Korea over the interview?
No, it's not.
If we're going to go to war with them, it should at least be over a decent movie. But anyway.
Yeah, it should be over like Castaway or Fried Green Tomatoes.
There you go.
Tawanda, yeah, all right.
I remember saying that, you know, there's a book, a best-selling book called The Orphan Master's Son, which came out not a couple years ago, which I read. It was a great story about, you know, the reality of North Korean concentration camps and what life is like in North Korea. And it's like, why doesn't Hollywood make that movie, you know, and then go to, you know, something that's got some truth about it. And then, you know, that'd be worth going to war over. But I don't know. The whole premise of the interview is like, it occurred to anybody at Sony that maybe it wouldn't be a good idea to make a movie that posits the assassination of an existing world leader happens to be a crackpot communist dictator with a nuclear arsenal? I mean, didn't anybody think of that?
At least change a name or something, right?
Right. At least make him a fictional character. Yeah. But, you know, no, it's like, it'd be like somebody making a movie about killing George W. Bush. Oh, wait, they already did
that. Yeah, they did. Yeah. That's right.
Well, the star of the interview, he's allegedly smoked more weed than Cheech and Chong, so he probably thought it was fiction. The guy didn't exist anyway.
Well, I think that so many times these things get greenlit because of who's in them. Seth Rogen, you know, can pretty much get anything made he wants because he's a box office draw. And so, you know, they get said yes to sometimes when somebody should go, wait a minute, this is really not a good idea. They just go, hey, he wants to do it, it'll probably make $100 million, let's do it.
Well, it's like Tina Fey said at the Golden Globes after they tried to shut it down and not have it shown, everybody had to pretend they actually wanted to see it. So I wanted to go back to Justified for a second. I know you can't give away plot points and that kind of stuff, but...
Although, if you want to, we will let you, okay?
Yeah. I promise we'll cut them out of the show. We won't air them.
Okay.
But will there be a little more art this year? I mean, I know they want to just use art in spots because everybody wants to see him so much. But honest to God, when I drive up to my dad's house to watch Justified because I don't have cable. And we're sitting there, we're always hoping that there's a lot of art in it because art makes us laugh. So is there more art in it this season, or is it pretty much the same percentages in the past?
I appreciate you saying that, and the sad fact of the matter is there's less art this year than any other year.
Holy crap.
Oh, man.
Oliphant.
Art got shot at the end of last season, so I'm recuperating for most of the first half of the season, and, you know, a few scenes here or there, and then towards the very end of the season, I kind of begin appearing more often, but this is probably the lightest year for me since the show started.
Hey, tell us who we need to write. We'll start a campaign here, okay?
Graham Yost.
Well, just, you know, it's too late now. This is the last year. There's, I think that I'm sad that they announced that this would be the last year. I think it kind of put a pall over everything. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, well, I guess we're all going to have to get another job. each other, you know.
Well, you were just getting the route to work memorized, and now it's over.
Right. And it, you know, it's kind of a shame, but at the same time, I'm not all that unhappy that it's over. I mean, I remember telling Oliphant in the first season, you know, I hope we do this show so long that I'm just sick of looking at you. And I told him the other day, I'm there.
Yeah, that's fine. How different is it, you know, when you go into work now or when you were filming this last season as opposed to other seasons? Like you said, with that cloud over you, knowing that, you know what, this is it. This is the last season. It's the last time we're going to do this. Is it different going into work than in other seasons?
Well, you know, this is the first time it's ever happened to me. I've never been on a show that announced 2 years in advance, we're only going to make two more years, you know. So, it does make a difference. I don't think it's the best move. I mean, most of the other shows, you know, you're going through the season and you're going, I hope we get picked up next year, so we better make this stuff really good, you know, so that we can be on the air next year. And, you know, whether they... Yeah, I mean, we're all professionals. Everybody's doing their best, and, you know, and this may be the best year ever. I don't know, but, you know, it certainly does seem to put a different feeling on things.
And I'm assuming, just as last year, will your wife, Leslie Riley, be in any of the episodes this year?
Well, not so far. I mean, they, you know, the way things are going, I'm just glad they put me in it once in a while.
Well, I just wanted to... Like, you need a compliment from me, but I love the way she played your wife when your character was going through that stuff, because she really looked like, it was almost like a documentary, because really when you're in the hospital recuperating, you're just kind of sitting there eating ice slivers and everybody's just sitting around waiting. It wasn't over-the-top melodramatic. Was that the way she decided to play it, or was that the director's call? How did that fall?
Well, a little of both. I mean, you know, it's funny how that all came about, you know, my wife, I had put pictures of my, they said, you know, we need some pictures of you and your wife to put up all over the set, you know, so I put pictures of Leslie and I all over my office for 4 years, you know, in the show. And so when it came up, and I'd been saying for 4 years, we need to go home with Art, we need to meet Art's family, we need to know more about Art.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, Graham Yost says, we're going to meet your wife this year. And I go, good, well, I've already cast her, she's all over the set.
Ah, brilliant man.
Indeed.
He said, can your wife act? I said, how could somebody be married to me if she couldn't act?
Wow. So many ways to go with that.
And out of respect, we're going to sway away from that, sir. What is a possibility? You know, you hear, especially as popular as Justified is, and it's the most popular FX series that has been on that network. How is there a possibility? Has anyone said anything about maybe a movie down the road? I mean, like a big screen movie of Justified.
You know, nobody said anything to me about it, but that doesn't mean anything. They may be talking about it, you know. But I don't know. I don't have any specific knowledge of that.
Does
one of those things that everybody talked about when a popular show ends? Maybe there'll be a movie.
Yeah.
What they should have as a spinoff is Art in retirement, and just have Art dealing with knuckleheads in everyday life. I would watch that.
Well, I pitched to them what I thought was the perfect Art Mullet spinoff, you know, and they're not taking it seriously. I think some other networks should look at it, but I told them we should do a show called Art Mullen Walmart Greeter.
It was just for 42 minutes a week that we get to see Art just greet people.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that goes on at Walmart, you know. Somebody gets stuck in the bathroom. Somebody, you know, there's a big spill.
They shoplift some Q-tips.
Thing, yeah. And people running into shopping carts in the parking lot. And then, you know, of course, towards the end of the season, there's a big robbery. And, you know, Art demands that all the Walmart greeters be armed. It can get very exciting.
We have an exclusive. The Art spinoff is coming.
That is fantastic. You know, you've been on the program here before, and I'm sure this is a question we've asked, but for people who may not have had a chance to listen to those that earlier show, how much do you draw from your own life, from your own personality, and apply to Art on Justified?
Well, you know, the thing that's great about what they've allowed me to do on Justified, because Graham Yost has known me for so long, they do kind of tend to write towards my sense of humor, which is sort of sarcastic, and they also give me the freedom to add a little bit of color here and there, which happens in almost every scene. And, you know, I mean, really, I try, honestly, I try to act as little as possible when I'm doing art. I try to make it as much like myself as I can, because I figure that's the thing I'm best at playing is me. So, you know, I'll give art that, you know. But a lot of art is also my dad's. My dad is it's a real homage to my dad.
Last season, I believe it was last season, you were staking somebody out in at a cafe or something, and you were sitting in the car listening to Rush Limbaugh. Now, is that something you asked to be put in, or did the director say this is Art's character? Whose call was that?
Well, you know, it's funny. They just wrote it into the script, and what had happened was the season four, I think, Rush Limbaugh one day on his program mentioned me by name, said I was one of his favorite characters on the show. So I got in touch with his brother, who I knew through my violent, hateful Twitter feed. And I said, you know, would Rush like to have me on? So Rush had me on the show for like a 12-minute segment and interviewed me. And, like, it was really great. Everybody was writing me going, you were on longer than Dick Cheney.
Wow.
So... But after that, you know, the writers had heard that, and one of the writers mentioned to me that they heard me on the show, and they all listened to it in the writer's room. I said, really, what'd you guys think? He said, well, we thought it was good. We think you should keep doing stuff like that. And I said, yeah, because I'm bringing in the audience that everybody in Hollywood's been driving away for 30 years.
There's several things you're known for. The movies you've been in, of course, you know, on Justified. But I think a lot of people have gotten introduced to you, too, from your Twitter feed. You're a fireball on there, sir.
Well, I have too much fun.
Yes, you do. What leads to that? I mean, why have you embraced Twitter so much, sir?
You know, to me, it like becomes like improv class in a way. You're just sort of like, I'm just on there trying to outsmart ass the other person. Most of me, like, people write me and go, oh, you're so angry. I go, laughing my head off over here. I'm not angry. This is hilarious to me because people get so upset, and, you know, and I run these routines on these people that, you know, a lot of left-leaning people on Twitter just sort of tend to call conservatives racist just as a default mechanism. They just go, well, you're a racist. That's why you don't like Obama. And so I just come back at them with something ridiculous, like, you're only saying that because you're so miserable, because you're so fat. And they're like, hell, why are you calling me fat? You have to be a name call, you know, why do you have to resort to name calling? I go, oh, you called me a racist, and now you're whining because I called you fat?
That's not worse, yeah.
But really just sort of, I'm just trying to be absurd with these people to show how ridiculous their arguments are. And sometimes I'm more successful than others.
Why do you think, for the most part, Justified hasn't received the Emmy nods that it should have? Do you think it's because it's actually a show where good guys shoot bad guys? Is it because your character is openly who you are? I mean, why do you think the Emmys have, for the most part, overlooked that show?
You know, I don't know. I don't think it has to necessarily to do with politics. I think it's more like shows like Justified that are about sort of the middle of the country and people in the South are just not appealing to voting members of the Academy, all of whom live, you know, in New York or Los Angeles for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're interested in shows like Mad Men and, you know, Breaking Bad and things that are a little bit more sort of highbrow and arch and, you know, in their minds, sophisticated. I mean, Justified's a very sophisticated show, but it doesn't appeal to them because, really, we're just, to a lot of people that live in big cities, it's a show about rednecks. And,
right.
I mean, that's just my opinion. I don't really know. I don't think it's a conspiracy. I just think it has to do more with the makeup of who votes in the Academy than it does with any sort of actual agenda, you know. I don't think they're trying to shut us out. I think it's just one of those things.
Tell me a little bit about FX and the way they, you know, they treated you guys from the beginning. How refreshing is it to be on a network like that that lets you put out the kind of show like Justified is? And could, do you think Justified could have been on one of the, I guess what you would call one of the big four, ABC, NBC, CBS, or Fox?
No, I don't think it would have made it if it was on those shows. We wouldn't have been able, on those networks, because we wouldn't have been able to preserve the sort of sense of humor that Elmore Leonard has, which is, it's R-rated. You know, his humor is basically adult humor, and so I don't think you could have had as much fun on the network. I think we probably would have had more fun if we'd been on like an HBO or a Showtime, because you know, then you can go really far. Then you can say like really bad words, like the F word, which we can't say. You know?
Well, and we there would probably be more nudity too, correct?
Yeah, and you know, I have a specific clause in my contract that addresses that in case it comes up. You know, I don't do dorsal nudity. Frontal is fine. I don't mind that. But you know, you're not getting behind me with the camera.
I think Flipper had the same clause in his, anyway, dorsal. Anyway.
Yeah.
As far as how the series ends, does everybody in the cast know, or is it going to be some well-kept secret that only the people in the room know what happens at the end, as of right now?
Everybody in the entire show is killed.
Okay. There you go, folks, an exclusive.
Honestly, I don't think they figured out what happened at the end yet.
Oh, wow.
But he knows.
Well, where are you guys at right now in filming the final season, sir?
We've got four left to shoot. We've shot nine.
Okay,
I wanted to ask, this is more of a general question. It kind of ties in with your Twitter feed. And Chris Rock, I guess recently or in the last year, said he can't do concerts on college campuses anymore because college students have become so, for lack of a better term, politically correct, that they, instead of laughing at his act, they spend more time becoming offended, so he doesn't tour there anymore. Now, when college, you would think college students would eat that kind of stuff up. So when Chris Rock is too politically incorrect for a college crowd, where on earth are we headed?
Being offended has become a cottage industry. There's money in it, you know, and it's been given so much power, you know, that you can, if you claim offense, and then, you know, you're going to get all this publicity, and you're going to get the faculty, the university on board, and, you know, it's all very exciting. It's just sort of, it's the whole kind of protest as a profession sort of thing, like Al Sharpton does. And I think it's destroying discourse, really. I mean, it's basically like you have to be careful who you're talking to all the time because you know somebody's just looking to be offended. So
I wish I could take credit for this, Nick, but there's a guy that I listen to on the radio every once in a while down in this neck of the woods, and he says, we've become the United States of the offended. I mean, everybody wants to be pissed off about something. There's a lot of truth to that, right?
Yeah, and that's sort of why I run my Twitter feed like I do. Is there a lot of people out there looking to be offended? And I'm here for them.
My boy over here was taking a sip. This is why it should be a video one. My boy over here was taking a sip of Coke. You said that, and it almost came out his nose. It was awesome, okay?
Yeah, it's a public service. I know a lot of you want to be offended, and I'm here to help you. Try this on.
Well, the thing, and now we're getting off into opinions, but my thing is, if somebody comes along and actually has a genuine reason to be genuinely offended, it's all just white noise now, because as soon as I hear somebody is upset by what so-and-so said, I just drown it out. It's like the...
Yeah.
So.
Well, it really has, you know, it does. It makes legitimate grievances confused now, because everybody's whining about everything, and whatever happened to sticks and stones, you know? It's like, everybody... Grow up. Not everybody's going to like you, and you're going to run into people that you don't like and who don't like you and who aren't fair. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about it, you know?
You were we asked you about Chris Rock a little bit earlier, and I know this is another thing we kind of touched on the last time we had you on, but would love for you to just talk about some of the people that you've worked with that you've really admired. And then again, if you want to talk about some of the people that were just douchebags, we would like to hear we'd love to hear that too, okay?
Oh boy.
Well, that would take too long.
Oh, okay.
Ah.
Who are some of the people that you've really enjoyed working with, Nick?
Well, the biggest honor really for me personally was Gene Hackman, sort of getting to work with Gene for a couple of weeks on Runaway Jury. Because Gene is kind of my hero. He's kind of the guy that, when I was younger and I saw him, I thought, you know, he's not that good looking. I can be an actor. It was just great to get to work with him. He's such a great actor. And just, you know, to be able to tell him that, you know, to just say, I want you to know what an inspiration you've been to me. And he was just really gracious. And that was a terrific experience. And, let's see, other than that, it was fun working with Tom Hanks a couple of times. You know, we had a good time together, although he hasn't called lately. I think he might have gotten on my Twitter feed. Maybe he's mad at me.
Well, my buddy here, Brian Hanks, swears up and down he's Tom Hanks' 29th cousin, but he will not return his phone calls.
Hey, don't feel bad, Nick. He doesn't return my calls either, okay?
Right. And other than that, I mean, I've been really, you know, I worked with Mary Steenburgen again this year. She's on Justified this season. And I did a TV movie with her in 1995. And she's just a terrific, not only a terrific actress, but a great person and a lot of fun. And last week I got to work with Betty White.
Oh, wow.
Hot in
okay.
Cleveland, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Hot in Cleveland?
I did an episode of Hot in Cleveland. It was the second episode I've done of Hot in Cleveland, and all of my scenes were with Betty. And that was just, I mean, I can't tell you what that was like.
Well, I've got to ask you, are you a love interest, or what is your role? She does like the younger men, Nick.
I just played the police chief. It was really kind of a little bit, a couple of scenes, but you know, it's just it was so great to get to work with them. And all those ladies on that show are terrific. And I'm trying to do as many of those half hour shows as I can, because that's what I want to do next. Whenever the agents ask me, what do you want to do next, I say, I want to do a sitcom. That's what I want. So
that was my next question. What do you, when this Justified gravy train comes into station, what do you have lined up after that?
Well, a lifetime of luxury and leisure. But now there's a lot of things sort of being kicked around. There's I think one of the great things about having been on the show for so long is that there's a chance now for me to do some things that, I don't have to do for the money, or things that I've been wanting to do for a long time. So there's a possibility of me doing a play. You know, a friend of mine's written a really great play that I might do. And there's been some talk of me directing a film. I'm actually having another meeting with those people next week. And I might direct a movie. I might do a play, and I might just sit around and go broke. I don't know.
Well, I've got a suggestion for you, okay? May I? I know from Kinston, North Carolina, here's one. Acting school. We love acting school. When we had you on the show last time, I had only seen one or two of them. That has become one of my guilty pleasures. And if I need a chuckle, if I need... I like how dark it got. I like how funny it was. I just really enjoyed that. What do we have to do to see more acting schools, not just on YouTube or on your webpage, but even on a Netflix type of vehicle? Is that something that maybe could happen down the road?
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility. I mean, we had to put a pause to it because, you know, the guy that I was making it with, we both kind of got busy, and, you know, it was costing us money. At a certain point, you know, you just look at each other and go, you know, this is really fun, but, you know, we're grown-ups. We can't keep happen. So we're kind of looking to try to find a home for it, and we'll keep it alive in one way or the other. There's a, I don't know if you saw, but recently, about a couple of months ago, I put out a short public service announcement from Acting School about securing the grid. it's just like me and my girls floating in the pool, you know, and me talking about how bad it would be if a terrorist attack or a natural disaster took out our electrical grid, and how all your TV sets would go out and you'd never be able to see me again. And then my pool would get really cold.
Oh, boy.
We'll be doing things like that. And, you know, who knows? I'm still actively trying to find a home for it.
Well, you know, that's the thing about, you know, we interview a lot of people on this, between politicians and actors and athletes and that kind of stuff that we've done over the last 4 or 5 years. But the thing is, when we get somebody like you, it's hard for us to be neutral because we are fans. I mean, John Dawson over here is the biggest fan of, probably one of your biggest fans ever. I have grown to become one. So it's hard for us to be neutral about the whole situation. So how does it feel answering all these questions from sickle fans like us?
It feels great. I wish more people were like.
All right, I'm gonna just wrap it up with one question, unless you have any more.
I did want to ask about Netflix.
Okay, because this the one I'm gonna ask. He's gonna insult me, and that'll be the end of the interview.
Very good. So. But okay, one of the things you know that John and I have talked about quite a bit is just our viewing patterns. You know, 15 years ago, you watched everything on VHS and cable and all that. You know, 10 years ago, it was all DVD, and you know, then Blu-ray came along. You went to the theater quite a bit, but I've got to tell you, I watch as much, I've almost got to the point, other than, you know, keeping cable so I can watch FX, you know, so I can watch Netflix, or so I can watch Justified, but I've really gotten into the whole Netflix thing and Amazon Prime and all that. How is that changing the whole, the landscape in Los Angeles and in Hollywood, sir?
Well, it's changing it drastically. They haven't completely figured it out yet, and I don't know where it's all headed, but, you know, I think that sooner or later, I mean, I'm the same way. I dropped all the big, you know, cable networks because I only watch one or two things on it, and it's just much more convenient, more cost-effective to watch what you please when you want to watch it, so what you can do on Netflix, and I think sooner or later everything's going to go that way. It's all going to be pay-per-view before it's all over. So I think they're all trying to figure out how to do this. I mean, you know, the networks, the revenue from advertising on networks has gone way down because everybody knows that if they are watching a network show, they're DVRing it and they're flipping through the commercials. So that's why about the only decent ad money you get on a network is for a sporting event, because that's the only one where people actually sit there live and watch the commercials. So, yeah, I think it's all going to change, and nobody knows exactly how. And, you know, I'm glad I'm kind of made my money so far, so to speak, because I think a lot of the money's going to go out of it.
Okay, well, I'm going to save something for the end here, because Brian's got a couple more, but I did want to throw this in. Did you break any bones or pull a muscle laughing at the Duke NC State game the other night?
No, that was great. Wasn't that great?
Oh, man. I haven't laughed so hard since the last Justified I saw. I mean, it was so wonderful. And
The Miami game was even a little bit better. It was just such a beating, you know?
Did you see the part in the Miami game where the guy from Miami hits a three off of – he gets a steal, hits a three, and then all three of the coaches, including your favorite coach, of course, Mike Krzyzewski, they fall back into their chairs. Did you catch that part?
Yeah, I saw that. I tell you, the thing that's been cracking me up lately, though, is did you see the P.J. Harrison getting fined $5,000 for the worst flop in history?
That was fantastic. But no, come on now. He's a Carolina guy like you, though.
Well, that's what I said. I wrote on Twitter, I said, you know, if P.J. Harrison had gone to Duke, he'd know how to flop better.
Wow.
That's true, though. That's absolutely true.
They have a major at Duke in flopping.
They do. Well, how much do you, you know, with all the work you do and everything that's going on, how much time do you get to watch basketball and to do fun stuff other than, you know, being on a set?
Well, you know, I have plenty of time, really. I mean, I DVR all the Carolina games, and my son right now is a JV, the freshman high school playing on the JV team, and so I'm at two high school basketball games a week with him. We just, in all honesty, I get more free time than a human being should be allowed to have. I'm very, very fortunate.
So the acting school thing, where you are living a life of luxury and relaxation, there's an element of truth to that.
It's a documentary, basically. Yeah.
All right, Mr. Searcy, this will be the last question because you'll probably want to hang up. But I've got the perfect vehicle for you after Justified. You can take this to Graham if you want, you know, whatever. But your character, you're raised in a family of morticians. They have a funeral home. But you want to get away from that, so you become a doctor. But after you get your medical practice open, your family wants you to go into the family business. So you go back and you become a mortician also, and you open up. You have a building where one side is a medical practice and the other side is a funeral home. And, like, the medical practice will raid the funeral home for parts if they ever need anything. I think that's got Nick Searcy written all over it.
You know, it's very similar to a show called Wrestling with Death. I don't know if you've seen that yet.
No, I haven't. I've seen the commercials for it. Have you watched it?
I watched the first couple of episodes, and it's I recommend it.
So somebody's already ripped off my idea before I got it to anybody? Is that what you're telling
me? Well, it's based on I haven't seen an episode of it yet, Nick, but I did see that it's based from somewhere in North Carolina. Where is it in North Carolina that it's based out of?
I thought Wrestling with Death was in Arkansas.
It might be Arkansas. I swear, somewhere it got in my head that it was a North Carolina funeral home, but it's a reality show. John doesn't know what you're talking about yet. It's a reality show that's based on these wrestlers who are also morticians.
No, I'm just saying he's a doctor with a funeral home in his medical practice. Totally different.
That would be a conflict of interest potentially there, wouldn't it?
Well, but think about it. If a family's there with a deceased person and you use body parts, you can give them a discount on the funeral.
I like it. Let's keep working on this and maybe have lunch 2,000 or 3,000 times, and then, you know, we'll see what happens in about 18 months.
There you go. Well, I tell you what, Nick Searcy, you're ever in Eastern North Carolina, you give us a call here at the Kinston Daily Free Press, and we got your barbecue for you, okay?
Oh, thank you so much. It's nice talking to you guys. I miss North Carolina, so it's good to talk to some guys that are still there.
Well, very good. Thank you so much for joining us this week, sir.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey,
Dawson, that is so much fun, mm-hmm. You know? And it's made it better. The first time we had him on the show, which, I don't know, was it a year, 18 months ago? How long ago was it?
I think it was 2012.
Hell, that's almost 3 years ago now. But, you know, it was one of those where we come into the show, you know, I come in and you're like, hey, we got this guy named Nick Searcy. I didn't really know that much about him. You know, I did cram a couple of the acting schools to learn about him. But since you introduced me to him, when we had him on the show the first time, and he was hilarious then, it's been so much fun watching him on Justified and watching, getting in depth on all the acting schools and seeing him on Twitter and everything, man. It's just.
I wasn't just blowing smoke up his pants leg. There should be more art on Justified.
I agree with
the
you.
The character art.
I agree with you. There absolutely should be. But he's just. What a good actor. What a good guy. We really appreciate him coming on the Free Press Radio show with us. I don't know. I think we should just go ahead and end it. What do you think?
You mean life or the show?
The show, dummy. Yeah.
We're not on FX, buddy.
Yeah, we're not. Oh, I got to go back to PG, don't I? Okay.
You need to go back to G.
To G-rated.
If you aim for G, you will end up on PG.
There you go. But really appreciate him. Be sure to watch Justify. I have a DVR, so I don't even know. It's on Thursday nights, right? Oh, we didn't ask him about Archer.
No. I think it's on, isn't it on Tuesdays?
That's what I'm saying. It's a whole Netflix DVR thing. I couldn't even tell you when it comes on because I don't watch it when it comes on. It's on my DVR.
Well, it will not kill you to go without watching sports for 1 hour.
Yeah, it probably would.
It wouldn't, because all they're going to do is throw a ball and somebody's going to catch it, and that's all they do.
No, they shoot it through a hoop, too.
Well, that's throwing the ball.
And then they hit it with a bat sometimes.
They throw it through the hoop, somebody catches it and throws it to somebody else. Big deal. Although anyway, I did enjoy Duke losing twice in a week.
let's not let Tina hear that. Oh, my beautiful bride.
She's not listening.
She's not, thank God, because she was not very pleased about that the other night, okay?
Well, I want to thank Nick seriously for doing this because obviously he doesn't need it. He's not making any money, and it's probably actually hurting his reputation to be on the show. So I want to thank him for coming on.
A really good guy. Thank you so much.
I don't think he was receptive to my show pitch.
I thought it was what was neat about that was I had no idea where you were going with that either. You hadn't told me about it before you started.
There was a column about a year ago.
I don't read your columns.
Well, that's true. You are only the editor.
They pay me to edit it, not to read it.
Oh, okay.
See, a complete difference there.
Yeah.
But, so anyway, thank you so much to Nick. Dude, happy birthday to you. Everybody out there, John Dawson's. See, I can't even do the old joke since you used it on me in your freaking column last week or this week.
I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
Your birthday is coming up.
I'm talking about what old joke did I use on you?
Anyway, I'm not really 60 years old, people out there. And everyone at Rotary yesterday that, had to take little shots at me because my alleged friend, John Dawson, lying in print. You know, I probably could sue you for that, right?
You know, you're not looking at this with clear vision. If you let people around here believe you're 60, all the really hot 60-year-old women in town are just going to be flocking to you. I'm telling you, you should steer into that skid, my friend.
I'm just going to... But see, I don't want this. I got a woman. I don't need 60-year-old women chasing after me.
We got some pretty good-looking 60-year-old women.
We do have some pretty good-looking 60-year-old women in this town, that's for sure. So I don't even know where to go from that. But wish John Dawson happy birthday on Sunday, January the 18th. How old are you? You're going to be 42?
Two.
42. That music you heard at the beginning of the show and right here at the end, if you want to find out more about that, or if you want to buy one of his books, or if you would just like a foot massage that doesn't even tickle, how do they do that?
For most of those things, you can go to johndawson.com. That's J-O-N Dawson.com.
Okay. Well, can you get, I don't know
you
which
can't
one.
Let it go, can you? You got to stop it.
There you go. Thank you so much, Nick. We really appreciate you joining us here. We'll see you next week on your listening device.